So everything the Lord does is good and perfect, yes? He created us in his own image. Don't shout me down now. I'll try that again. He created us in his own image. And I love the song selection today because I don't call whoever picks out the songs, whoever, don't take credit for it because it was the Holy Spirit, not you. But I'm just kidding. But he created us in his own image to love and to be loved by us. And we sang about that. It's the foundation. It's one of the main foundations of our faith. God has, in the history of the church, often been presented as a kind of a totalitarian tyrant that if you mess up one time, he's going to swat you like a bad bug. That's not who he is. His burning passion, God's burning passion, is to be close to us. Isn't that amazing? I don't even want to be close to myself sometimes. But these important truths, as they become the bedrock of our faith, it'll deliver us from being given over to a religious, judgmental, and critical spirit. And I'm hearing so much of that today. Oh, these pastors, America wouldn't be in the condition it's in if it wasn't for these pastors. And I'm like, really? Because I don't think we're lawmakers or executive branch guys, or I think we're here to preach the word. Does that make sense? And it's other pastors saying that. So what possible motive could there be for that, I wonder? The point is, if we bite and devour one another, we cannot expect revival, but judgment. And I want revival. If somebody's got a rainbow flag on the front of their church this month, you know, that's not, as long as I'm here, there's never going to be one here. If someone puts one up there, it'll go down as soon as I see it. But if someone else does it, I don't want to fight. Does that make sense? I don't agree with it. I can passively disagree, or I can aggressively disagree. And I know there's different kinds of people that make up the body of Christ. I'm more on the passive side. I was kind of looking at a little clip of a reenactment of the ride of Paul Revere. We were watching it together. And the first place he rode was to a minister's house who was the head of the militia. And I just looked at Sarah and said, you know, if some 19, 20-year-old British kid was wearing a red coat, I couldn't draw a bead on him and shoot him because he was serving. I'm not that guy. I don't even like to hurt animals, just blue jays. Because they eat our fruit. So if there's something that's a fruit eater, don't come around me. Satan, you've been warned. But think about the words to the writer to the Hebrews who exhorted us on faith when he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It didn't say they obtained wealth. It doesn't say they obtained bigger houses. They obtained a good testimony. Some of them laid down their life for that good testimony, and some of them ruled kingdoms, but you don't get to pick that. I mean, I've put in my application for some of that. You know, it's like the one guy that prayed, Lord, don't give me so much that I deny you. I said, Lord, I'd like to be tested. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So I can't see God. If you guys see God, you know, there's medication for that now. But he lives in a realm that's different than this physical realm, but out of that realm he created everything that we see and know and understand. Isn't that... He just spoke, and the worlds were framed, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, we can't just lift that. I mean, that verse gets quoted a lot, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. What's the context? That he's the creator, that he created all things. And if we distance ourselves from those truths, our faith is in what? It has to be in God who created the heavens and the earth, who created us in his image to love us and to be loved by us. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's not faith in faith, but it's faith in God. It's not a presumptuous faith that gives us a desired outcome, but a good testimony in heaven and on earth. Note, if you skip down in Hebrews 11, where I'm reading, down to verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And if truly they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. You know, there's a lot of people returning right now. Jesus predicted in the last days there would be a great falling away. And it makes me sad. I'm not happy one bit about it. But there's people that used to be the first one at the church door on Sunday morning. They wouldn't come for anything right now. And that breaks my heart. I think those are the first guys that are coming back in the next coming move of God. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I don't know what it's going to look like when New Jerusalem comes down from heaven and settles wherever it settles. I have an idea, a thought of where it's going to settle. But when it settles, it's 1,500 miles four square. That's a big city. That's half the continental United States, right? Maybe a little more than half in some places. That's awesome. That's what we're looking for. I want God to bless America, have mercy on America. There's so much going on right now. It's like, oh, Lord, help us. Right? But this isn't it. No. But it's the best place I know of. Some of us who live by faith will see our rewards in this life, but many will not see them until the age to come. But in the age to come, it'll be okay. Amen? Our faith secures for us a place in New Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. There we will enjoy for all eternity the things that God has prepared for us that we haven't yet seen. We have something to look forward to. Sometimes do you wake up and say, you know what, I think I'm just not going to wake up. No, seriously, it's just crazy. There are people that are in deep states of depression, taking their own lives in a terrible state, because that's why I want this country healed. It's for the people that are here now. It's for the harvest that's coming. It's not for, oh, I want the American dream. Well, I do, but you know what I'm saying. But that's not the motive. The motive is there's so many people that are being left out. Paul wrote, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This guy was shipwrecked, whipped, stoned in prison. Not stoned like we use the word stoned. He was stoned with stones. He went through all, and he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. Not seen are eternal. So, all of this just introduction that was probably too long is just to say, this isn't it. And if you start to feel discouraged because of things that are going on around you, look up. So I want to talk to you about, again, talked to more extensively last week, but I want to talk about two Adams, two trees, and two weddings. Is that fair? There were two Adams. We looked at that last week. If you weren't here last week, you can go online and listen. It's very helpful if you're having trouble sleeping. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 26, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits after those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father and he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, meaning the human and demonic private-public partnership that's going on right now. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Can't wait for that one. There is perfect harmony within scriptures, yes? There's no contradictions or conflicts. If there are in your mind, that's where they exist, in your mind. They don't exist in God's word. God's word is perfect. John 3, 5 through 8, Jesus was speaking to a religious leader named Nicodemus, and Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit." Those two passages that I just read fit together perfectly. We're all born in the first Adam, and we're all born again in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. We're born in sin, we're born again unto righteousness. Isn't that so? That's good news. When the Holy Spirit started moving on your life, did you know where he came from? But you felt the influence, yes? For me, it was the conviction of sin. I don't want to say I was a professional sinner, but I was really good at it. And he saved me in that state. Now think about this. I'm not meaning to talk out of school here. If he saved us when we were his enemies, what will he do if he's with us, if we're with him? I mean, we get this idea like, oh, I messed up, and what's, you know, how's God thinking about me? Well, how was he thinking about you before you ever knew him? He was thinking, I love you and I want to draw you to myself. How much more now will he with him freely give us all things? We get things so messed up. I know people that say, we got to go win the people under the bridge. And God bless you, go win the people under the bridge. But what about the up and outers? What about the people running our city? Who's witnessing? You know, we need people ministering at every strata. All right? Again, Christ is the first fruits is a clear reference to his resurrection on the Feast of First Fruits following Passover, where he laid down his life. Christ is the last Adam who has become a life-giving spirit to all who believe. We receive the Holy Spirit through his finished work on the cross. That's great. That's good news. Our proclamation of that good news that we have been entrusted with has the power to deliver souls from darkness and death and usher them into the kingdom and eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? It sounds kind of funny, but when we proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that word has the power to deliver someone from eternal hell. So again, born of water refers to the gestation period in our mother's womb when reaching full term, like we just witnessed recently, right, Julio? Yeah. There's a new person. There she is. There's a new person on the scene. Born of the Spirit refers to the miracle of faith that delivers us from sin and death inherited from the first Adam and ushers us into the eternal life of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's just got to soak in. I asked you guys last week, how many of you have had first Adam moments this last week? It was just yourself, you know. I always tell people, I pack the fruit of the Spirit neatly in the trunk of my car before I drive. So just as a reminder, remember Adam means mankind or species. There are two species or races walking about on the earth today. Those are in the first Adam and those in the last Adam. When you were born again, you became a part of a new creation life, a new creation order. You're different than you were before. I look in the mirror and I go, ew. No, I look in the mirror and I go, I look like the same old guy that was that guy before Christ. There's just not as much hair and a bunch of wrinkles. But I'm not the same person, and you're not the same person either. But it's the deception of the enemy that tells you there's nothing's changed. You're the same person you always were. You're going to mess up just like you always have. Just okay to be a little rude and say, shut up, you liar, and get out of my house. And he has to go. Okay, so there's two Adams, there's two trees. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then people came along and made nectarines, and thank God for that. I love nectarines. Combined two other trees. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I'm not going to spend time on this, but just to say I personally believe that there were two real trees in a real garden. Okay? But that's really not the point of the story. The point of the story is there are two sources of spiritual revelation. The tree of life represents the word of God, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents the word of the serpent. Unless you're in Christ, you only have access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you're born again, you have access to God's word, the tree of life. His word is life. I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. How more plain could Jesus make it for us that he is the tree of life for us? He is the source of God's word. He is God's word. The word was with God. The word was God. We could just go on and on. But, okay, we get it. Every word from God is life-giving. Read the whole Bible, even the genealogies. Even this tribe received the portion of land from this big rock to this tree to this stream. It's all life-giving. It all matters. And if you get that, it's funny, if you get those portions of Scripture down set, when you read later where an event takes place, there's a context. Okay, so it's just every word. Read every word. Read it through. Here's the thing. If you read three chapters a day, Monday through Friday, and five chapters a day, Saturday and Sunday, you will read through the whole Bible in 1 year. It's not that hard. But if you look at the whole Bible, you go, and you get overwhelmed, especially when you get into Leviticus. Don't cut the corners of your sideburns and let the hair grow long. But it matters. If for no other reason, then you can say, thank God for the blood of Jesus that delivered me from this. Especially the part where you can't eat bacon. Man, oh man. So every word from God is life-giving, yes? Every word of the serpent is filled with false knowledge of good and evil designed to make you think that you are like God through a self-determined good and evil. That's the point. So I was going to say something about transgenderism, and then I took it out, and then I put it back in. So Microsoft Word is kind of an amazing program. It does way more than I know how to do with it. I just type. And it tells me when I spell words wrong. And so I typed in transgenderism, and my Microsoft version of Word is from 2007 because I haven't learned all what the 2007 version can do, so why upgrade? When I typed in transgenderism in my Microsoft Word 2007, it did not recognize the word. So all this stuff wasn't here yesterday. And that's what we need to... because people will make you feel guilty if, you got to support these people. You got to get involved with gender-affirming care for children. It's like, you touch my kid, my grandkid, you're going to have an issue. I mean, it's nutso. I would say Microsoft is fairly progressive, yes? And it's not there in 2007. I'm not going to upgrade through until I find out when it's there. I'm sure it's there now in 2023 version. But let me say it this way. America as a nation, not all the people, but America as a nation has abandoned the tree of life, which is the word of God, for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the word of the serpent. The self-determination of what is good and evil is moving further and further away from truth and the love of truth until common sense has been abandoned at every level. When I hear these people speak, I'm in shock. If somebody's struggling with those issues, I don't hate them. I want them to be delivered just like I was delivered. I wasn't delivered from that, but I was delivered from other stuff, mostly from myself, which was the big... that work's still ongoing. Okay, so... In the first Adam, we all have that fallen nature that wants to determine its own way. I was talking last night with the people at prayer meeting, and I said, I used to be on God's 5 to 6 year plan. Now I'm on the 3 to 4 year plan. When he tells me to do something I don't want to do, it used to take about 5 or 6 years to get me turned around. Now it's only about 3 or 4, and I'm hoping. So Moses, God couldn't trust Moses until he was 80, so I have hope. So we must embrace the word of life, yes? And again, in Christ, the way to that tree is open to us. And this is the good news that we have to share. Isn't that great? So here's a thought, and I'm probably preaching to myself. I should sit down and listen to this. If we become angry and or violent toward the deceived, we lose. How many of you visit that? I'm the only one? Oh, good, there's 2, 3. We were once among them, but we have received mercy and grace, yes? Thank God. I was debating on whether or not to share this too, but I'm going to. I was in prayer a couple weeks ago. I've just been carrying this. I believe it was a word from the Lord. He spoke to me. He said, just as I raised up the prophet Daniel from among the Babylonian eunuchs, so too I will raise up prophets from among them in the days to come. The people that were, I don't know how to put too fine a point on this, that were made eunuchs. Do you guys all know what that means? Against their will. When Nebuchadnezzar decided, he thought, oh, these guys can be useful in my government, he castrated them, made them eunuchs, put them into his service. And it was from among them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some of the finest examples of faith and righteousness in all the Bible were raised up. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me that some of these kids that have been, same thing happened to them, God's going to raise up mighty prophets of the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that. But so we're not called to judge the deceived, yeah? I mean, that's too easy. but to extend mercy and grace, the same mercy and grace that saved us. So there are two weddings. This is going to bring this in for a landing. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man, and Adam said, whoa. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This was before the fall. After the fall, he said, wow, no. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So in the garden, before sin, God performed the first wedding with Adam and Eve. Isn't that cool? There was no sin at the first wedding. There's going to be no sin at the last wedding. That's the one we're looking forward to. Yes? So this first wedding was performed by God in the garden when all Adam knew was the tree of life. They hadn't fallen yet. The consummation, now I hope you can hang in there with me because this is, I hope this is okay. The consummation of the first wedding was the first blood covenant recorded in Scripture. And it's kind of interesting, the first blood covenant, the blood was shed when Adam came into his wife Eve. God put that in human physiology to reveal the sacredness of marriage. All right? If that wasn't your shared experience, that's why we need mercy and grace, okay? Revelation 19, 6 through 9, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah. I don't know, that's going to be pretty cool. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these sayings are true sayings of God. So the Bible begins with the wedding, the first Adam, and ends with the wedding with the last Adam. Isn't that something? I think that's kind of cool. Two Adams, two trees, two weddings. The fall of mankind begins at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the redemption of mankind ends with the tree of life and the new earth. The fall of Adam was the first Adam was undone by the last Adam when he shed his blood on the cross made of a tree. There he purchased the redemption of his own bride for all eternity. So blood was shed at the first wedding, and blood was shed to procure the last wedding. Isn't it? God's word, I think, is just so amazing. The shedding of blood seals these weddings. Amen? From the seed of the woman following the shedding of her own blood at the consummation of her wedding and down through her line came a virgin whose name was Mary, through whom came the Savior Jesus Christ, 4,000 years after the prophecy was given. Wow. The seed of the woman crushed the seed of the serpent. Yes? 4,000 years. We've got a document that's what, 245 years old and we can't figure it out, the Constitution? No, it's true. People read it and it's like, well, what does it really mean? Well, we think it's an evolving document. Well, you think we evolved, so you've got more than one problem. We were all born into the line of the first Adam, or we wouldn't be here. We're all born again into the line of the last Adam if we've received Jesus Christ, yes? You can partake of the tree of life, God's word, anytime you choose. I'm so blessed. I have it on my phone, my computer. I've got this big, heavy one that I used to carry around everywhere. I kind of still do. but it's so much faster to look stuff up in my phone. Or I can just listen to it. I have the whole Bible on my phone, as I told you the other day. It just turned on and it just turned itself on. I don't understand Apple technology. And I know it was a God thing because it just started playing by itself at 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. I was like, that's like a word from God right now, isn't it? It was from my iPhone. But it was from God, from my iPhone. But every word of God is true, yes? Anyways, I just want to encourage everyone to read God's word or listen to God's word or however you take it in. But we're going to need to do that if we're going to live fulfilled lives in the days ahead. Yeah. Or we can listen to the serpent of old, the devil, and lose everything as the first Adam did. I don't want to do that. I don't want to see that for anybody. So anyways, there's a great wedding day coming. We have something to look forward to, yes? And you can invite as many people as you want. Our mission, or shall I say the Great Commission, is to invite and prepare those who accept the invitation to the wedding to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes? Again, isn't God good? Yes, he is. Two Adams, two trees, two weddings. And daily we have a choice which one we're going to participate with. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, check this out. If you want to follow me daily, right? Daily, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And if you were to upgrade that to modern times, if we still had capital punishment, daily, pick up your electric chair and follow me. Because that's what he's saying. He's saying, die to self and walk in the Spirit. Daily. What you did yesterday doesn't make it for today. What you do for today doesn't make it for tomorrow. Tomorrow you got to get up and do it all over again. Normally when I wake up, the first thing that I think is, Lord, I choose to deny myself, pick up my cross and follow you, at least till my feet hit the floor. Sometimes it's more than once a day. That's my point, right? Would you bow your heads?